Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It's the Underpowered Hour. On this week's show, we're joined live from Australia by our good friends Jeff and Damon from Seriously Series. And now, without further delay, here's the show. Welcome to the Underpowered Hour. I'm Steve Barris, mild-mannered television executive by day and Land Rover collector by night. You can find out more about our cars and what we're working on at thebarriscollection.com or follow us on Instagram at thebarriscollection. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Ike Goss.
Thank you to everyone joining us today. I'm the clattery old spring bushing to Steven's ride height sensor. I'm the persistent lean of podcasting, Ike Goss.
I own and operate Pangolin 4x4 in Springfield, Oregon, where we live and breathe Land Rovers. Check us out online on Facebook, Instagram at Pangolin 4x4. Let's get started.
All right, Ike. Well, in the news today, two exciting pieces of information out of China. One, JLR embroiled in a lawsuit with one of your very favorite Chinese car manufacturers, our good friends at Landwind, makers of some of the finest imitation Land Rovers.
Not Landwind.
No, I know. I know that you love the Landwind, but in this case, they did go after Landwind for infringing on the design of the Evoque. Of course, famously Jerry McGovern's favorite Range Rover, potentially designed by a Spice Girl. We don't know. There's no way to know for sure. And they won. They were
Landwind.
JLR won. JLR won in China.
Right. What?
In China. And Landwind is now, they have to stop selling the Landwind X7, which is the Evoque copy. And I mean, when you look at this thing, and we'll put the link in the show notes to this China IP law update, which I know is a website probably most of the listeners frequent anyways, but in case you don't, it looks exactly the same. Like it is so similar, you can't tell them apart. They are the same car. They had a pretty good case. And yeah, usually companies don't even bother suing companies in China because the court system is heavily, heavily on the side of the Chinese manufacturer there. But in this case, JLR did actually win. Now, you'll be happy to know that they are not stopping production of any of the other Landwind models. So that one with like the tiny horse that comes with it or whatever, or any of those, they're still making those. So it's just this particular one.
So this is the owner of Landwind is the Jianling Motor Holdings Company, if I'm not mistaken. And they make a number of vehicles that I would say are heavily influenced by other auto manufacturers. Is that fair to say? Yeah.
I think diplomatic? That's fair to say. Yeah.
In light of this current lawsuit, we could say directly copied.
Yes, directly copied. Yeah, 100%.
Should we check with show lawyers on that and see if we can say that? Can we say that?
I think it's okay.
X7, they can't sell it.
They can't sell it anymore. They have to cease selling the X7 and they have to pay some amount of damages to JLR for selling it. There's going to be some reparation due to JLR for that.
I'm just looking at this, because you're mentioning this and as a news article and and my research seems to indicate that this court ruling happened March 22nd of 2019.
Well, it was a long time ago, but this is from 2021, I guess. But this settlement is like it just
So they settled. So they have to stop selling.
Yeah,
so
yeah, this
so
is
they've
like,
at least been making this car for the last 5 years. So I mean, is it really much of a loss to the Landwind company? Are they going to recall all the X7s? Probably
No, they don't have to recall any of the existing X7s. They just have to stop selling them. So,
stop making them.
Yeah. Okay. Stop making them. All right. Yeah.
Well, but, in more recent news, in more recent news, I understand that they've been making more Land Rovers, and not only are they making more Land Rovers, they're selling more Land Rovers.
That's
according
true.
To the most recent release of Land Rover sales numbers. Right.
That's right. A few different sources, apparently.
A few different sources with varying quantifications of this increase. We've got Tata saying that Land Rover sales are up 11%.
It's not bad.
And Land Rover, or sorry, JLR saying sales are up 20%. Do you think the difference is Jaguars? I don't, you can't be right.
No, I don't think there's any Jaguars being sold. I don't think anyone has bought a Jaguar in months, maybe years.
Well, something's selling, right?
Maybe merchandise.
It's got to be Defenders.
It's
Defenders. No, you know what it
That's
is?
The only thing.
It's insurance. It's insurance.
It's the insurance on the specialty insurance on your Range Rover. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's
Once
it.
You buy directly it's got to be. It.
Yeah. So for those listeners that don't know, JLR is selling insurance to mostly UK customers.
It's UK Range Rover owners. Yeah.
Because
they're.
Because a lot of traditional insurers are not writing new policies for those cars because they are prone to being
stolen like crazy. Yeah, they just get stolen a lot. And insurers have said, nope, not going to do that anymore. And so Land Rover has had to step in and offer a bridge to be able to insure those cars. Now, apparently, they're fixing the problem.
Yeah, it's improving.
And they're hoping to be able to roll out of that insurance program, I imagine, at some point in the future. Now, Tesla does that here. They have their own insurance plan.
That's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon that an automaker does offer their own insurance, but not because they have to. I think that's where the difference is here. You know.
Well, maybe insurance is a good business model. I wish them the best. And then speaking of I mean, this is kind of like a game of whack-a-mole. They had this ruling against Landwind. Now this new car company, well, they've been in business for a while, Chery, which is a pretty established brand, Chinese car manufacturer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're great. Yeah.
They have released a new vehicle, the iCar V23. Have you seen this?
I just looked it up. And I have to say, I'm a fan. You know, it's sort of like a Jimny and a classic Defender had a beautiful, beautiful love child.
It's kind of got some elements of the Ineos.
The front is a little Grenadier-y. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Like the hood area. Yeah, now,
you're right.
Now the grill itself and headlight assembly, I would say, is a complete ripoff of the Land Cruiser, the classic Land Cruiser, where it's got
classic Land Cruiser,
two headlights and then a rectangular area between the two headlights.
Yep. Yep.
That bezel
side markers. Yeah.
Very Land Rover or Land Cruisery. The bumper, I would say, is more Grenadier-y.
Grenadier kind of meets Jeep YJ sort of looking. Yeah.
But the overall impression of the vehicle from the renderings is definitely Defender-esque. It has the hips 100%. Of the Defender. Yep. You know, it's got that little element directly in front of the front door and kind of behind the wing area. That element is very Land Rover-esque. It's got a signature panel, although it's behind the metal door.
The signature panel, yes.
It's got a signature panel. Anyway, if you look at it, it's very Land Rover-y. And this electric car, compact electric, it's kind of an interesting little, you know, variation on a theme that Land Rover doesn't traditionally sort of sell a vehicle in, at least not a utility oriented car. But
this does look kind of utility oriented. It doesn't have a spare tire, which is sort of interesting on the back. Instead, it has like a spice rack on the back. You know, which
it
I think is kind of
one. It's got a Bluetooth spare.
It's a of course. It's an electric car. It doesn't need a spare tire. It just calls for roadside assistance as soon as you get a flat tire. Yeah, it's neat. I like this one a lot, actually. I mean, it's a SolidWorks drawing, so you know, who knows if it'll ever actually be a thing. But I do like this. You know, I have to say, China is pumping out some pretty neat looking cars. I have to say, this might look more like the classic Defender than than the current new Defender.
It kind of does. It kind
of
does.
A lot of these Chinese cars do.
I have no doubt that legal action is forthcoming, and perhaps in 5-6 years, we'll see a judgment against Chery. They'll have to stop selling us.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. No, now with JLR newly emboldened from their win against the Landwind, are just going to go lawsuit crazy in China on all of these copycat manufacturers.
That'll just keep their lawyers busy. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. Well, hey, speaking of busy lawyers, our very, very good friends of the show, fellow Land Rover community creators, YouTubers, filmmakers, and just general Bush Tucker enthusiasts, both Jeff and Damon. He's real. He's actually a real person. Are here from Seriously Series, the YouTube channel, and the content creators. They are live from Australia, from the opposite sides of Australia. We've set up a complicated satellite network to be able to speak with them in the future. It's actually tomorrow where they are.
Yeah. And Jeff is actually in the bush. He's joining us via Starlink, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true. Yeah.
We were able to track Damon down. He fell into a koala trap. And so we've got him on the show.
We were able to pin him down long enough to get a bit of an interview. So let's dial that up before one of them is attacked by a dingo. All right. Well, we are joined once again by our very good friends from Down Under, the folks from Seriously Series. Of course, Jeff has been with us many times before, but we have the express pleasure of finally being joined by his partner in crime, Damon, who we're not 100% sure was a real person. I know there's been rumors circulating that, he is, just a pen name that Jeff uses to, get out of paying taxes and things and uses to settle debts. But in fact, no, he's a real person and he's here with us. Welcome to both of you. Jeff, I know you're out in the bush on satellite internet, and Damon, you had to run over to your parents' farm. So thanks, boys, for making the time and finding a spot and settling down with us. What is an evening for us, and I don't know, sometime tomorrow for you guys. So welcome from the future.
Thank you. It's nice to be. Kind of back from the future or forward of the future, and it's always good to catch up with you two. But Damon's the star of the show here today, so I'll hand it over to you, Damon.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. And yeah, it's probably around 10 a.m. at the farm here in Tasmania. We're just coming out of summer and it's getting pretty chilly. I actually put the door tops back on my Series 3 2 days ago. Yeah, she's getting a bit...
What's the temperature threshold of door top installation?
It's more so just because it rains a lot these days in autumn. Mm-hmm. So I was just sick of getting wet on the right arm out the window. I was turning up to work with wet clothes, so I had to put the door tops back on now.
Yeah, you sacrifice that arm comfort for dry clothing.
Yeah, it's a big difference, actually. There's so much more room when you open the window, or even better, take the door tops off. You can just spread out.
Here in the United States, mail carriers have like a waterproof sleeve that they put one arm so that they can do the mail deliveries with the window open. Maybe you should look at getting one of those instead of having a door top.
Is the underpowered hour bringing out a limited edition of
that's
one
a
of
good
those
idea hours? You're right, the single sleeve. I know, yeah,
it's a good idea.
We'll write that down.
I'll absolutely be interested. Absolutely.
Can you do a right-hand one and left-hand one?
Yeah, that's right. We have to do for right and left-hand countries. That's right. Yeah, we'll get that to the Ministry of Merchandising there. We'll put that in and see what they come up with. But that's a good idea. I like that. The sponsored sleeve. We could do that. Yeah, we'll look into that.
You have all the space of a vehicle without a store top on. And
who needs a full hood on their Land Rover when you can just deal with the sleeve. Just put on a rain. Really, you're just putting on a raincoat. I mean, I guess that's really this is sort of the same thing. But
well, that's it. But you're actually saving space too, aren't you, Steve? Because it's just a little.
It's just a small sleeve. That's true. He packs away easily. Yeah. You're right.
What we used to do is we used to leave the roof off, and when we took very long trips without the roof and the weather was inclement, we had motorcycle helmets that we would wear in the Land Rover.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, works great.
That must have turned some heads, Ike, you know, driving into a town.
Couldn't say, you know, when it's hailing out and you're driving your Land Rover with no roof and a motorcycle helmet, you don't notice what's going on around you. But it
increases the safety factor like tenfold,
You know, I will say, Jeff, it wasn't always when we were moving either. I noticed that there's a number of mosquitoes buzzing around you and possibly trying to bite you. When we went to Canada, we stayed by this lake and there were so many mosquitoes that we had to sleep in our motorcycle helmets as well. So we had a sleeping bag up to the motorcycle helmet, a motorcycle helmet on the head with the visor down, and you could see them trying to get in, but they wouldn't bite you.
Yeah.
So just think, if you had a motorcycle helmet right now,
you'd be very comfortable.
No problem.
I'd be
very comfortable. I've done that fishing. I've gone fishing and I've just left my motorcycle helmet on because the bugs are so bad. I just fished in my motorcycle helmet. You know, it's fine. Yeah.
I love it.
So, Damon, when we finally go over and meet these guys, and it's going to happen, I think the take-home message is we need to get some motorcycles.
That's right. You got to bring over some motorcycles. Yeah, they're
the United States.
The most versatile. You
know? That's all we need.
Yeah. People over here constantly wearing motorcycle helmets for things. Yeah. You just see people just wandering around wearing motorcycle helmets. Very normal here. Very normal. Very normal here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Unconventional problems require unconventional solutions.
That's right. But I'm lucky here, Ike. Luckily, they're just flies. They're flying dates.
They're just biting flies.
No problem. Well, Damon, let's talk a little bit about, because obviously we said, you know, we've had the privilege of having Jeff on a number of times. Let's talk a little bit about your relationship with Her Majesty's Green Oval and, you know, sort of where your interest in Land Rovering came from with all the brands and all the world. How did you end up interested in this one? Where did that come from? For you,
I suppose it started in the early 90s when our family, we got a Discovery One 1998 and it had the 3.9 V8 in it, and we used that for towing a lot of heavy things around the property and carting around, and that's where the relationship kind of began, because I just got so many memories, you know, like growing up of just going out bush in that thing. And I have one now. Like, not a V8, just a TDI, but, like, I got it for that exact reason.
Did your original one have the inward-facing rear seats?
It absolutely did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the greatest part of the Discovery One, is those insane – I'm sure, like, not safe at all.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way those would never fly today, but those were – my favorite part of that truck. They were just so much fun riding back there.
Makes any kid car sick, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, instantly sick, yeah.
Yeah, no, they were great. Love sitting in those, going to, like, soccer training. Mum would have to put us in the back because we were just absolutely filthy. So, like, you can go in the boot. That's where you're sitting on the way home.
Yeah, that's right.
But I suppose from there, I kind of didn't have anything to do with Land Rovers for quite some time, because we had that for a long time from brand new, and it kind of just became part of the family. And probably in 2011, I joined up with the Australian Army and was introduced to the Land Rover Parenti.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sparked like something inside from there. Like, I got some pretty crazy stories of what we've done in those vehicles, like getting airborne and done some pretty gnarly stuff in them. Just absolute abuse. And that kind of was like, I didn't have a car at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want one of these.
Right.
Obviously at the time I couldn't buy one because they were still in commission. So I came back home to Tassie probably after my second year in the Army, and then our actual Land Rover mechanic for the Discovery One said, well, I've got a 110 here that you might be interested in, Fender 110. So I had a look and I was just hooked from there. So it was a Land Rover Defender 110 with a 300 TDI, and it was very steep learning curve pretty early on, like what I got myself into. I think the second day I got it, went for a trip up the East Coast, and we pulled up to a fuel station just to fill up, and an old fella came up and said, oh, something leaking under there, mate, and had a look at, and it was just diesel. When it was running, it was just diesel just coming out of the injector pump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a classic, so, classic TDI thing. Just coincidentally, my Camel Trophy truck is doing that right now. It's I have a new pump on the workbench. I got to get around to it. But yeah, just.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Half the diesel for the road, the other half for the engine. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not flammable in the traditional sense. So it's all right.
No. Yeah. So I wasn't too worried, and I was quite young and didn't really think about the consequences of diesel going on the road.
Yeah.
So I kept going up the East Coast, and I just kept filling up.
Yeah.
And just did the trip, brought the car back to the mechanic, and he put a new pump in, second-hand pump. That's the same pump in there at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm very glad I still have that same vehicle. It's kind of been into storage, ready for a restoration of some sort, because there is quite a bit of rust in it, unfortunately, in the firewall.
And you were never held responsible for the small ecological disaster you caused up and down the by spreading diesel fuel all up and down the West Coast. Yeah, well, that's great.
No.
Yeah, that's
That's fine. Young and dumb. Young and dumb.
Yeah.
So this series of mechanical failures has given way to your passion for Land Rovers.
Absolutely.
That's how everybody goes.
I seems like a common theme.
It was after the first bill I got, I think. I said, I've got to do this myself.
That's right.
Yeah.
But growing up on a farm, we're very used to fixing things.
Yeah.
And I had the time. So I was like, bought a manual. And if anything broke, I would go ahead and fix it. And if I didn't know, I'll go ask someone like Jeff or our friend George and we'll get it done. So, and I haven't been back to that mechanic, who is actually a very good family friend, ever since.
Nice.
So we get along well because I don't go see him with my problems.
Is that the reason for the friendship?
That's the reason. That's why he's still a good family friend. Yeah, that's right. You don't spend time there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So tell us, how did you get involved with Seriously Series? And for those of our listeners that don't know, what is Seriously Series?
Seriously Series was started in 2015 by Jeff and myself. We didn't really know what we were kind of getting ourselves into initially. We both had a problem, two problems. Mine was I needed a project to finish my cinematography studies. So I needed to make a long form documentary of some sort.
Right.
And Jeff needed to find some work in his field of geology. And he decided to go to Kalgoorlie, and he had his series two. And we just got talking one day. And I said, well, maybe we should film it. And then it kind of went from there. And that was our first ever trip of us not really knowing what we're doing. We're just driving from A to B. So Tassie to essentially Perth in Western Australia, which is how many Ks would that be, Jeff?
Very long way.
Off the top of your head.
In the correct terminology, it's 3,000 miles. In the modern form, it's 5,000 Ks.
Yeah, 5,000 kilometers. Yeah.
So that was where we we just started this trip, and it just kind of happened. I just started gathering footage, as you do with documentaries. You just start gathering, gathering each day. The events that unfolded, which were very eventful, and this was the time when drones would just come out. So there was the drone DJI called the Phantom. I invested a lot of money into it. So this was the first drone they had ever brought out. I actually borrowed a GoPro Hero 3. I spent all the money on the drone, and the battery life on the drone this documentary was 10 minutes. I mean, it had one battery, and you couldn't see what you're filming because it was a GoPro. You just press record, and up it goes, and you just pray that it's pointing the right direction you're going. How times have changed now with technology. The end of that trip, I remember, I'm sure you do, Jeff, as well, when we were sitting at his dad's dining table having a bite to eat or something to eat after a very long day on the road and essentially finishing what we started. I think we both had the same feeling of this is something that we want to keep doing, keep documenting these things and sharing these adventures. We didn't know what we had. Like, I'd just been wrangling the footage at the end of each day and storing it away. And when I got back home, I was like, yeah, there's definitely something here we can just keep doing just for us. And then, like, because we love doing these kind of things, and the sharing with everyone else was just an absolute bonus. And the community
still is.
Like, the community that we've kind of got around us, and just the general Land Rover community itself was something we knew about, but it's an international community. So
right.
We're really glad that we just pursued what we wanted to do, and look where we are now, making documentaries and helping brands out, and just absolutely bringing things back to the basics and showing that you don't need all these fancy things to go out there in a Land Rover series or whatever Land Rover Green Badge you've got. You can just out there and have a look.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, it's so cool.
You can fix the vehicle anywhere. So
absolutely. Really, and sometimes frequently. Really frequently. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think absolutely. That the series of you guys getting to Kuma was hilarious. Following you guys on Instagram and along the way was just fantastic. What a harrowing journey getting there. It was fantastic.
Well, the funny thing with that, Steve and Ike, was we actually sat down and thought we'll be sensible on that trip because we needed to get to Kuma.
We had the screening. You know? You had to be there for it, right? The film was premiering.
We had people waiting. We had kids in anticipation that hadn't slept for a week. They wanted to see this great film.
Look,
let's take the one Land Rover that we have that doesn't have a Land Rover motor because it won't fail.
It's going to work, and right, yeah.
What happened? It failed. But luckily, Damon knew what he was doing because I don't know what G&M is. And, yeah, he got it going again. And just so happens that there was a well-cured timing gear set that had been on this old servo's shelf for 20 years, and it fitted Damon, didn't it?
Absolutely, and it was a good quality one, Australian-made.
Nice. Yep. Well, that's great.
Where was the one that failed made?
From the factory. So it was just made to fail.
Yeah.
The timing gear. It's actually a fibrous timing gear.
The best of the timing.
Yeah, pretty much. But after the fact, I investigated it, and Jeff's friend's dad was a very good help along this drama we had, because he himself actually owned a workshop replacing these faulty gears with either cast iron one or a alloy one.
Right.
And he really helped out through that process of actually doing the install with the engine not being absolutely pulled apart.
Right.
Which is what I did not want to pull the head off, bounce out, and all that. It was a little bit stressful. But because there was a lot that could go wrong if we messed it up.
For sure.
Especially smacking the timing gear back on to the actual shaft itself and having the possibility of whacking it too hard so it goes out the back of the engine. Because it's just floating there, you see, and it is pressed in. But if you hit it hard enough, it'll come out the back of the engine. That's it. Pull it out of the engine job. So that was a bit stressful, that moment. but it was a very good experience, that's for sure.
You guys got it.
And then we had the remainders of the timing gear that broke as a little exhibit at the show called Guess Your Bit. Yeah. And if you got it right, you got a Seriously Serious sticker.
That was fantastic. No, absolutely. Yeah, fibrous timing gear. I would not have thought that someone would have given that a go, but there you go. Yes, value engineering. You know,
it's quieter. Yeah,
it's quieter.
It's quieter.
It is that.
Yeah. What an advantage. What an advantage.
What an advantage.
So you guys do most of your trips, your expeditions with older model Land Rovers, either series or classic Defenders. But you're definitely dyed-in-the-wool like Land Rover enthusiasts. What's your feelings on the current state of affairs, the new model offerings that JLR, you know, formerly Land Rover, currently Defender, sort of nebulous brand is promoting, is selling? What are your thoughts on those?
I guess my thoughts are is that I will always love the, you know, the series Land Rovers, and that's why we're called Seriously Series, because when we first did our first trip, Damon and I were chatting and I said, well, look, Damon, I think, let's be honest with ourselves, it's just going to be seriously about series Land Rovers, so let's call ourselves Seriously Series. Mm-hmm. So it's always going to have an element for us there. Yeah. But I think we all have to face facts that the world has changed and evolved vastly since the height of, or the heady days of, the late 1940s when the Series One rolled off the production line. So, like any
not
brand,
for Ike, though. For Ike, it's nothing has changed.
Oh, look, look. Yeah. I'm in 1961 with my Series Two, so okay, I'm a new kid on the block.
Yeah, for us, it's all kind of stayed still, but for the rest of the world, has kept going. Yeah,
exactly. They can move on. They can move on with whatever they want. I guess So you know, with Land Rover being a business, they have to evolve and keep competitive. And I guess they've done the best they can to keep the charm and the nostalgia there. But yeah, it'll never be quite the same vehicle. But they're doing what they can, I guess.
Yeah.
How about you,
Damon? What about you?
I'll totally agree 100% on that. And I can say that I'm quite confident that Land Rover are always kind of leading the way in terms of car technology. And that's kind of something that they've always done in the 4x4 world. There's lots of firsts they've achieved. I think they just want to carry that on. It's definitely in their business model to be ahead of everyone else that's in their kind of field. So I've got nothing against the newer vehicles themselves. I still don't wave to the new Defenders.
I have nothing against them, but I'm not going to wave at them.
I'm just not there yet.
No, they're getting close. Getting close, but I'm just not there yet. There's, I suppose it's going to eventually kind of morph into society. Like every car that's brand new does kind of remember when the Discovery 3 came out and everyone, that boxy, ugly looking thing.
Right.
And people absolutely love them now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Just for their looks.
And look, even Freelanders too. I think someone here's got a Freelander or did.
It's the finest vehicle certainly ever made. You know, I don't think the Defender will ever reach the godlike, iconic, you know, status that the Freelander has. But, you know, we have the modern Defender, and it's a great car. You know, it's very livable, and obviously we have, you know, one of the Trek competition cars, so it's a little more dune buggied out than your average Defender. But yeah, you know, there are some charming things where they, you know, tried to sort of hint at the Defender. But, you know, you're right, Damon, the technology is amazing. It's the greatest off-road vehicle ever built. I just wish, and I think this is true of the entire community, that they had paid a little bit more attention on the design side to what the community wanted the thing to look like. And, you know, I think if they had just paid a little bit more attention, they had done a little bit more to service what the Defender looked like. And I know that's silly, and that, like, what does it matter what it looks like? It can do all these amazing things, and it can do, you know, it can run upside down and backwards up a set of stairs, but, you know, without anybody looking. And yes, it can do all those great things, but it just doesn't look enough like a Defender to call it a Defender. And I think that's where people struggle. And, you know, and I think that's honestly across the whole range. Even the new Range Rovers are starting to get pretty far away from you know the original Range Rover. The design is just getting so reductive that, like, there's nearly nothing left. You know, soon it'll just be like a smooth egg. You know, there's just gonna be nothing left.
It looks like the original it was made of wax, and they just
hit it with a hairdryer,
and it just kind of
there's not enough corners on them anymore.
There's no corners.
Cut all the corners off. Where are they gone?
No corners at all. Yeah. No. And you look at what you know. Ford with the Bronco, you know, Jeep certainly has been able to, you know, modernize those vehicles in a significant way. The Bronco, super significantly modernized. I mean, it's as modern as the Defender, but they captured kind of what the essence of squint and you could mistake it for the original car, which you just can't do. You can't put the new Defender far enough away to squint and mistake it for the original car. And I think that's just, you know, that's where I think people, you know, I agree with you, Damon. I think it's like, yeah, it's hard. You know, it's hard to sort of, and, you know, I wave at everyone driving my 80-inch around. No one driving a new Defender, save Liza, driving our new Defender, will wave back at me because they have no idea that I'm driving a Land Rover, and they may not know that they're driving a Land Rover. you know, I think Steven, that's also part
Steven,
of it.
Yeah. Have you ever considered that it's not what it's you're driving me. That's it's causing so people right. to refuse exactly to wave at you?
Yeah, it's just yeah. me.
It's just so brutal. Right. So brutal.
Right. That's what it is. That's right. I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So on the topic of newer vehicles, there's a pretty big movement towards electric Land Rovers, even converting older Classic mm-hmm. and Defender mm-hmm. vehicles. And there's a number of firms worldwide that are doing that, and some in Australia that are converting Classic Land Rovers. Talk to us a little bit about your feelings on that aspect of, you know, both modern and classic vehicles.
Well, Damon's a lot more tech savvy than me, so I'll leave him to answer that one. I'm still using two rocks together to get fire going. So.
Have you ever used an electric razor?
No.
No. Just one of those crocodile Dundee knives. The big
Bowie knife.
I just use my axe over there, you know. Like you do, mate.
That's fine. Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Smart.
Yeah, I suppose my thoughts on particularly the series Land Rovers converted to electric, I think they're absolutely fantastic what they're doing. These companies are innovating day in and day out to achieve that classic look, but under the hood, they have this modern technology. I suppose you can say it is the future. It's here now. We see it with many car companies. I think like a lot of countries will have, like, you know, that we're having those, I can't say which countries do it, but I've heard that they just want to have electric at the end of the day mm-hmm. in the future.
Oh, I think so.
If you want to keep your classic car, I mean, you're not going to have the motor sound and all that and everything. So it will... I don't know. I haven't driven one, a classic car. I haven't driven an electric car, to be honest, at all. But I just feel that the soul will potentially disappear from a series vehicle with an electric setup in it. I'm not sure. I can't say that. But I think it's a very interesting space to keep an eye on. And I think for us, if we were to do something down the track, we'll definitely give it a go to test what these vehicles can do in terms of like going out into the bush in the outback and say what kind of range. I think the range will absolutely be hindrance at this stage, but technology, I think in the next 10 years will be up there where we can achieve long distances.
Would you consider waving at somebody driving an electric Land Rover?
Well, how would you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Yeah, that's right. It's very stealth.
You might know in advance. You'd be like, oh, Jerry drives an electric Land Rover.
Well, you would know, Damon, I think. I think you would actually know because you wouldn't be able to hear it coming.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Yeah, it would sneak up on you. Yeah. All of a sudden, it would be there. And it would, so and it may be able to overtake someone in traffic. You know, you may actually be able to pass someone, which would be very odd.
Yeah.
It would seem strange.
Very odd.
Overtaking someone. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about maybe doing something there too, because it's interesting. And you know, in Australia there, the Jaunt folks are doing, I think they're maybe one of the larger companies doing, or they've certainly been doing it for a long time now. One of the original ones doing series conversions, and looks really good. Like the work that they do is looks solid. And actually, at some point, we've got to approach those guys and have a conversation because, you know, they seem to be doing some neat stuff there. So it's an interesting place, you know, and I don't know. I don't think it's in the next 10 years that, you know, fuel is going to go away, diesel and gasoline, but, you know, it's, you know, certainly not going to be around forever, you know, and
It's a finite resource. Yeah. Speaking of things that you might do in the future, what is the bucket list expedition, the Mount Everest of Land Rover trips for you guys that you want to do before you, whatever, wind down Seriously Series, or, you know, before you just what's your top of the heap ultimate Land Rover expedition that you've got, you know, you've been talking about or might be thinking about?
Well, we've got some big trips. We've just sat down and we've planned everything out for the next 18 months in terms of adventures and trips. But if you're talking about sort of a bucket list trip, for me, there'd probably be two. And that is crossing South Africa, Namibia and Angola, which is a trip that we've been working on for a couple of years now. going from the Indian Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
We're currently in negotiations. We've got a producer in South Africa, and we're working with a few, you know, leads there to hopefully bring that to fruition in some point. And the next one would probably be the Northern Expedition, where in 1967 they drove from basically the Australian Bight, so the southern part of Australia, and they went all the way up to the northern Kimberley up near the Timor Sea. And you can do it today, and you can do the entire route all on backtracks and dirt roads.
Wow, that's amazing.
How about you, Damon? What would you want to do?
One of my two would be your number one, the South Africa trip. Mm. That'd be amazing. Logistical nightmare as well.
Yeah, it would be. That's what we do.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. It's all about the, you know, the getting ready for the trip and achieving these things, and then when you're there, that it's kind of all worth it in the end. Number two, I suppose, somewhere in country in Australia would just be to, I suppose, go to somewhere like Arnhem Land, which is somewhere up north, because it's very contrast from where I am here.
Right.
In,
some Malcolm Douglas vibes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. So I can just wear shorts and t-shirt all the time. That'd be great.
Cuddle
just
a croc. Or
two. You can. You can. You can wear those things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Recreate some Leyland Brothers films. That would be fantastic. I'm absolutely there for that. Yeah.
Speaking of logistical nightmares, are you guys ready for the lightning round?
Truly is a logistical nightmare.
Since we've got the two of you, we'll alternate between you. Who would like to start first?
Okay.
You'll go. Okay. All right. I like it.
Wow.
That's like
very brave.
Okay. Here we go. Damon. Petrol or diesel?
Diesel.
Jeff, manual or automatic?
Manual.
Ooh, nice. Damon, bronze green or Camino gold?
Ooh.
Bronze green.
Whoa. Yeah,
that's my favorite.
Oh. Being an Australian, I thought, wow.
Yeah, Camino gold might, for sure. Wow.
I think that's treason. That's treason.
It's a
right
controversial
there.
Answer. That's a
Jeff, hard it top is. Or soft top?
Soft.
Ooh.
Nice. Damon, leaf springs or coils?
Leaf.
Jeff, northern or southern hemisphere?
Southern.
took you a second. All right.
I know. Damon, you knew the answer.
Bias ply or radial?
Radio.
Oh. Jeff, metric or Whitworth?
Whitworth.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Nice.
Right. There you go.
And
there you go. Who needs a decimal point?
Damon, for the finale, the best way to remove gear oil from your underpants?
Burn them.
There you go. Burn them. That's a popular answer.
Yeah, make a torch. Make a torch.
Yeah, make a torch. Yeah, it's
well,
good.
It's got a high, you know, 10 out of 10 there, fellas. Well done. That's a perfect score.
Yeah, well done. The perfect score.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, boys, it has been an absolute pleasure. We need to do this more often. We need to add you to the rotation. And certainly it is. We ran out of time before. We want to loop back at some point. We got to talk about the stage one that you've acquired, Jeff. As you know, we love talking about the most frustrating Land Rover ever conceived of. And we definitely want to hear about the trips you guys have got coming up and how that's going. And the YouTube channel. I think we're going to try to do some YouTube cross promotion. We're going to figure out some ways to do that, to loop you guys into what we're doing, and we're going to try to do some stuff on your channel as well. So we look forward to doing that. In the meantime, where can people find your YouTube content?
Well, we have Instagram, and that handle is Seriously Series TV, and then we also have just our YouTube, and that's probably our main source of everything that we do, and you can find that by simply just putting in Seriously Series into the YouTube search panel.
And there's also Facebook too.
Oh,
so there's plenty of seriously good content out there for you to enjoy.
It sure is. Well, boys, it has been a pleasure as always. Stay safe out there in the bush and on the farm and wherever you guys find yourself. You know, we know that Australia is the most dangerous place to be outside. You guys are constantly outside. So enjoy yourselves and we'll talk to you again very soon. So cheers. Thanks. From the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, thanks for
coming. No worries, man. Thank you.
Yeah, sure thing. See you guys.
All right. Well, man, those guys are fantastic. And, you know, all those
guys have something brewing. I will say.
Yeah, they do. They do.
You know, despite their proclivities for Land Rovers, they are industrious people.
That's true.
I am always impressed with what they've got going on and what they're going to be doing next. They're always planning. They're always scheming. They're always doing something. And just their... you know, filming for, what was it, Channel 7, I think?
Channel 7, yeah. Yeah, that sounds super cool. That sounds super
cool. So that's they've always got something in the works. So I'm looking forward to seeing those guys on our next trip to Australia and in the near future on the old YouTube.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to do some YouTube content with them. And speaking of YouTube, if you haven't checked out the latest in YouTube videos, we have Liza and I removing the snorkel from the new Defender without removing the driver's side door, which is a fun adventure. Thank God for Liza's tiny little gnome hands. Otherwise, it would have maybe been impossible. You gotta love a manufacturer that says, in order to remove this plastic snorkel from the side of your car, first remove the driver's door. You know, what a fantastic design that is. Thank you, Jerry McGovern, for your continued support of you know, field repairability. It's really a fantastic design there. Yeah, so check that out, and lots of great 3D printing content up there. And yeah, we're gearing up to head up to the old Anarch West Coast event here coming up very soon up there in the Bend, Redmond, Oregon area. And I believe Linus is camping already. Yeah, get them now because it's going to be a hell of a good time. We're going to have the whole crew will be up there. Linus is going to be there. Maddie will be there. Jenna, Liza, Ike and I, Abigail will be there. The whole team. Get your merchandise signed. Get your babies signed. Whatever. You know, we'll sign anything, literally. It doesn't matter. We don't care. We've got all kinds of pens. They'll write on anything. We're happy
to try not to sign people's children.
That's been priority one. That's what I'm there for. That's what I'm there for. You know, those kids are going to remember that forever. It's a memory for a lifetime. It's a memory
for a lifetime. All right. Just remember this being recorded. So it could be used.
That's right. Well, that being said, we'll see some of you up there in Oregon. And if not, hopefully we'll see you out there. And again, check out that YouTube content. We appreciate you subscribing and liking. And hey, share it with your friends. You know, put it on for your cats and dogs when you're out of the house. That's also great. We're very popular amongst the animals that are being left unattended community. We're huge in that demographic.
Play it for people you don't like on full volume.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you've got neighbors that you really don't like, just 100% and kick out for the evening.
It's true.
No better way. No better way to get back at those particularly loud neighbors that you don't like. So, we'll see you next week.
Adios, amigo.
The Underpowered Hour is produced by Liza Barris, Ike Goss, and me, Steve Barris. Pavel Svardov composed and performed our theme music. Consider supporting the show on Patreon, and if you already do, thank you. Your support makes the show possible. For even more, check out our Instagram or Facebook.